move into number 11, one of the most important of all chapters. 30 spokes are joined in the wheel of the hub. The hole in the middle makes it useful. Mold clay into a bowl. The empty space makes it useful. Cut out doors and windows for the house. The holes make it useful. Therefore, the value comes from what is there, but the use comes from what is not there. This is extremely profound, and though most people would not understand it, nor consider it to be of great importance, the value of emptiness is deeply significant. And if you look at your life, if you look at you, you will see much of your life has been focused on noise, on trying to fill the holes. It is the hole in the middle of the wheel that makes it useful. In these beautiful teachings of Lao Tzu on emptiness, we find him sitting there, being deeply, shall we say, moved by the obvious. He's trying to relate the obvious to people like us who miss the obvious, who are too busy filling their minds. A Zen master was once asked, "What is the essence of Zen art?" And the master replied, "Nothing extra." Yes, nothing extra. That is the necessity, the beauty of emptiness. And if you can understand this statement, nothing extra, you will find a deep and profound moment in your life, many moments. This particular chapter focuses on the essential Zen emptiness. It is very important to understand it. It is the gap, the pause, the spaces between our words, between my words, that are most important. If you want clarity, if you want liberation, you will not find it in knowledge. You will find it in emptiness, complete, utter emptiness, where nothing exists. The ego hates emptiness, abhors it. The mind is used to being occupied constantly with all sorts of strategies, forms of self-pity, forms of self-aggrandizement, all sorts of things that keep it obnoxious. Can't sleep, can't rest, can't be quiet. Can't live without the condemnation of the ego upon your mind. All these things are forms of our mental illness. We just don't understand emptiness, nor do we want to be empty, because when the thought of being empty occurs within us, we feel vulnerable, susceptible to the ego's messages, the low self-esteem that haunts us over and over and over again. In meditation, the ability to regard stillness, the poise of emptiness, a mind not laboring under the knowledge and the beliefs of its own knowledge, a mind that has stepped away from the human mind, has become a no mind, is of extreme importance. It is a true accomplishment in a person's life. Emptiness cultivates stillness and peace. We live in the crazy world of a mind that doesn't know where it belongs. It has no footing in the spiritual. So it goes to the intellectual. And when it is lost in intellectual condemnations or precepts or strategies, the mind is not being used the way it was meant to be. In the necessity of finding emptiness. Lhotse's examples of the wheel, the bowl, the doors, the windows, he's stating the obvious. But you see, it is illogical to most people. And when logic has seized our minds, it has made us literal. And hence we become so literal-minded that we miss the subtleties. Tuangsa, who was one of Lhotse's great disciples, always told the story of the two men that had lost their sheep. They were stolen. The first man got very depressed and lost himself in drinking, gambling. He was trying to forget his misfortune. He had a lot of pity upon himself. He went into such a depression that he could not really function. The other man, well, he decided that this would be an excellent time for him to quietly observe the subtleties of nature. Both men had experienced the same misfortune, but one man lost himself because he was too attached to the idea of loss and gain, while the other man found himself beyond loss and gain. He lived in the quietude of his being. Emptiness is something that human beings have a great deal of difficulty with. They lose their perspective in the world and then try to gain a different perspective in and of the world that will regain them back into their ego. You see, knowledge, intellect, only brings me back to my ego, the false part of the Gregory. He was based in that. He was confined in it. It is a very difficult thing to awaken beyond the confines of the things that we are most comfortable with within ourselves. And the reason being is our emotionality. It is our emotions that govern our thoughts. Now, traditional psychology would say it's the other way around. But I have not found that to be true in myself at all or with other people. The emotions that we have, that we are inclined to entertain, are typically self-serving, about being in self-preservation. Hence, we become very selfish and small-minded, petty. People who have lived their life in the dictates of the biology, the physiology, will always gravitate towards money. They will gravitate towards the idea that it is only in money that they find their comfort. It is a part of self-preservation. But when a wise person has money, they will find that only in the emptiness do they appreciate what it can do, not only for themselves, but more for other people. Now you've put yourself into a different hopper. When one is closed-minded and greedy, one sits like the man that lost everything with his sheep, and you just want to go into depression. Depression is very tempting. It's very alluring to the ego because it means you can be a victim. A person can be such a victim that they don't have to do anything. They don't have to self-examine. In fact, those who suffer from this very sad experience that is both biological, physiological, and often inherited, they can do nothing with themselves. They have no ability to do any kind of self-examination that is serious. It takes a tremendous effort, a Herculean effort, to pull my attention away from what I think has harmed me to that which I know has set me free, liberated me. If you wish to be truly happy, if you wish to really come into your own, the significance of emptiness must be the nature of your being, not thoughts, not beliefs, but emptiness. Returning to emptiness brings us into harmony. This would save humankind, but will never happen. Not as a whole. No, we must realize for ourselves that it is the mind that torments us. Nothing is happening the way Gregory's mind thinks it is happening. If I am not careful, if I am not aware, I will go by the advocates of my emotionality. I will look at the value of life as the illusions that I have created for myself, and thus labor in the fields of my own futility. This is all very hard for the average person to understand. You see, what I have found with students, rare students, is that they can't enter into the practice because they have no emptiness. And the ones that are even flirting with it, as I am talking about here, are people who have come to that place where they have found the realization. This realization is something that, well, for most people just can't be accepted and does not want to be acknowledged. And I have talked about it many, many times. It is the utter futility of the way we have lived. Lived in the confines of delusion and illusion, always looking for happiness. As long as you are looking for happiness, something that fulfills and gratifies your emotionality, you will never be happy. Happiness will be fleeting. So, what is true happiness? It is a quality of consciousness. and it is derived and discovered through emptiness. The value of emptiness is simply what the master said, nothing extra. My mind purports all sorts of extras. Gregory is always manufacturing all of the evidence he needs to believe in any thoughts he may want to have. The realization of the futility of this has been the basis of my own ascent, my own realization. Now I do not look at those thoughts, and they are still being manufactured. They're still going on. They never stop. But I don't take them seriously. I don't even listen to them. When they come up and they try to impose upon me their presence, I merely slough it off. Is that so? I don't talk to my mind. I say this to you, don't talk to your mind. Don't have conversations with it. Find that still, small voice in you, the one you never listen to. Some people call it the hunch. I call it just the still, small voice. It is not reasonable. It is not logical. It does not enslave itself to the idea of self-preservation. And if you listen to it, if you can find your stillness, you will find the breath of stillness, the breath of silence. And you will watch that breath. And as you do, the mind will start to back off. And in extreme emptiness and silence, you will find a new mind, not the old mind, not the, in my case, the Gregory mind that he was inheriting through his mother and father. No. I had a dream recently, and I thought it very interesting. When I woke up, I wrote it down. I was being born. And as I emerged into my body, into this world, whomever was there said, look, he has one eye open. I thought that very interesting. To be born with one eye open, an eye that sees things for the way they are, not closed. Not living in assumption and presumption. I suppose this has been very true about my life. I've always had that one eye open, looking for something that I knew existed that was beyond the confines of my closed eyes. They would not see what was going on, would refute what was going on, what would deny what was really true. The revelation for me was futility. My eye showed me how futile it is to live as we do, wanting, desiring, believing, thinking. Latsa brings order to the chaos of my thinking by showing me the futility of Gregory Penn and his thinking. If you can understand this, you can truly meditate. Let's meditate, you and I, together. I want to give you something from Lhasa. Gathering the vital energy, so you can enter into the gate straightly. You have achieved a state of a newborn child. In cleansing your inner vision, you have purified your dullness, of which you will never return to. Yes. You will never return. Sit with me. Observe the futility of your mind. No condemnation. Just observe.